annual thing.
Every year.
His paralysis encouraged it to come out here. And it was an event for the whole city. I mean, it affected the whole area.
So normally he would go back to Pennsylvania every year.
Right. 1908, Elsie married Mr. Leopold Myers, up right in this room. Now, he was a spiritualist, which totally took the steam out of me. That's occultic. And then when I recently got an obituary from one of Elsie's daughters, it went into as a kind of little booklet. It went into Elsie and her husband, and before he died, he was strongly supporting the Marxist cause. And when after he died, she continued to support the Marxist cause financially. Unfortunate. Yeah, he was a writer, and I do have a paper on him. And I see nothing about his thoughts about it. But I would think he would have had to have been in agreement on it. I don't know why he would be, but I didn't see any bucking it to have it right in their home. Yeah, all I know it was occultic, and I still need to pursue how strong he was in that. Some of his writings, he was a psychic, and did a lot with psychic societies. Wrote a number of books. It didn't sound interesting. No? Oh, yeah. 1872, she was born and married him in 1908, so she was getting up there. And he was younger. He was born 1881. So he was about 9 years her junior. 1909, General Palmer died of uremic poisoning. He was 72 and a half, having gone into a coma the day before. The entire city closed for the funeral. Right. It was he wasn't. He did not lay in state. Yeah, no form. Well, not the way we would think of it, but they had a big parade. You know, his close associates carried the ashes, and it was a big deal that day. Thousands of people, all the deaf and blind school kids were there, and one of them ran up through the whole maze of people and dropped a rose on the gravesite. They lowered they had a box, I guess, with the ashes in, and just lowered that into the grave. Buried them next to him. That doesn't say that, no. Well, yeah, that's the way it was listed in the paper. There was no Evergreen, Colorado at that time. So it's Evergreen Cemetery, and that's what you have to explain. A lot of people have asked me that, too, especially people from Denver that know about that. All right, September 14, 1909, that's 3 days before the general's 73rd birthday, Marjorie married Dr. Henry Charlie Watt. 1917, Dr. Watt died at age 45. 1925, Marjorie died over in England. She had moved there. I forgot what year now. She died over there at age 44. Dorothy was living with her. 1944, Leopold Myers died at age 63. 1955, Elsie died at age 83. And in 1961, Dorothy died at age 81. Dorothy never married. She got into social work, was very concerned about the poor, and was tender-hearted and gave herself to it, gave a lot of money to trying to solve the problem over in London, helping people all the time. The whole family was that way. Elsie doesn't show much of it, but Marjorie was the same way, very giving, concerned young ladies. Pardon? Yes. Uh-huh. Marjorie, too. All three did. Mm-hmm. They brought Marjorie's ashes back. They cremated her and then brought them back and buried with her husband. Yeah. I have the date on that. I don't have... this is the last one. Elsie and Dorothy both lived in England after the general... No, not, no. Marjorie went in early 20s, I guess. Dr. Watt died here. In right next to Palmer's plot there. If you haven't been to the cemetery, you want to get out to Evergreen Cemetery. Right behind the old chapel is the general's. He has a stone wall around his plot. And I got a picture somewhere here of the tombstone, just a boulder out of the mountains, and they inscribed it and put lead letters in each of them. Then they went and got the same kind of boulder, a little smaller for the rest of the family. Took care of her? Tanta Anna, you mean? I don't know. Could be, I forgot that. Well, one of the governesses was Tante Anna. She was a German lady, and her grandniece or something lives in Denver now, a Christian woman, who's written three books about the family history and includes Tante Anna's experience with Palmer. And all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to incorporate that into our own file here. Yeah, and we'll try to copy it out of that book and put it into our files. Out here, there was many of them, but I haven't not seen a list of them. Yeah, occasionally it's probably in there. Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt was in town a lot and stayed at the hotel. But what we brought out here, I don't know. There were guests all the time. It seems like. And I don't know anything at this point. Enough to make a statement on it. Yes, he did. In fact, I have a copy of it. And that is where we can find all that. See, there's so much information that I've forgotten. I go duplicate stuff I already had taken a year ago. So that's what we're going to filter out as we get working more on these books. I don't know where I got this. Just before we go to our break here, I put together some of the information I could find of what people said about General Palmer. What kind of a man was he? Very, very interesting. There are no negatives at all from anybody that I can find. Of course, there were negatives when he was building his railroad. People up in Castle Rock were upset with him because he didn't put a station right dead center in town because the grading wasn't good for it. He had to have one either north or south of town. Down at Pueblo, he decided to go a little further east of town, and they get all upset with him for not bringing it right into town, all this stuff. So there are those elements, which is just nature of the beast and comes to business. But as far as he as a man, and I have copies of this over on that table, I'd like each of you to take one of that. Things said and printed about Palmer the man. And this will help you to understand him. His generosity and all the way around, his ingenuity and tremendous skill. Well, this has been good. I didn't know we could talk this long. Of what? Oh, yeah, just segments of a couple of... And the courthouse in town. Yeah, we try not to get in too much of that. Beg your pardon me? Oh, let's do it now because we won't be back. We're going to walk through. They rented what? I've never read that. Yeah, lived with Dr. Bell for a bit, and then they come out to live in over the stable. I don't know of any tent. No, in New Mexico, and through a whole series of things, I don't remember all the detail of it. He just decided he wasn't going to fool with New Mexico. Getting over Raton Pass was a problem for him. And the politics of business, yeah. Santa Fe was his big stumbling block. They were quite unscrupulous in most of their dealings. Yeah, he went from Laredo into Mexico City and then from... But he didn't go straight to it. He just started a new line from Laredo in. So it went down. The line from Denver just went down to southern Colorado and then west into the mountains. It didn't go through New Mexico. It didn't connect at all with... In New Mexico. No.
New Mexico.
Yes, without any effort on his part, it said, withdrawing that much. I don't know, investments or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. He got the $6 million, but then it also said he was getting $30,000 a month. I have never put that together, where that came from or what it was. You want to hear just a few things about the kids? I just have a few notes that I've copied out. There's so much you want to know that then by the time you find it, you forgot where you put the paper. Queen Palmer, leader in education and social life of the city, established the first school. We talked pretty much about this. Revisited Glen Eyrie only twice after she moved to England. Dorothy, let me see, let's get Elsie. Type of a person. Traveled extensively, especially with the general. Personality, remarkable simplicity, serenity, and distinction from earliest childhood. The best things in life came to her without personal effort. No one was more tolerant, less egotistical, or less exacting. She seemed unable to think ill of anyone, and though she loved to give her friends the best of everything, one felt that she herself thought of life in its simplest terms. Blindness overtook her after her husband died in 1944. This she endured with extraordinary patience and cheerfulness. Living alone in a remote Suffolk rectory, tended devotedly by four family servants and enjoying to the full the visits of family and friends. To those who were privileged to see her during those last years, her serenity and courage will be an undying memory and example. Her last visit to Colorado Springs was in the 1920s. During the 1930s, she spent a lot of time organizing material for this book for John Fisher. And that was just prior to her going blind. I don't know what she went blind from. From the first, she had an instinctive feeling for the best in life, literature, music, and art. Dorothy Palmer hadn't returned to Colorado Springs in many years, widely known for welfare work in London, devoting much of her life to improving conditions in the slums. World Federation was her great love. She felt that through this movement, wars might be eliminated. There must have been something strong back after World War I or something. I don't know. After her father's death in March of 1909, she moved to Chelsea, London. Continued to support Marjorie's nutrition camp in Colorado Springs. Whenever there was a crisis in the family, Dorothy was the Rock of Gibraltar. She was present at the time of her father's injury and took charge of things. Cecil Jekyll Bayet, housekeeper at Glenary, went to London and lived with Dorothy for a number of years. Marjorie. It says of her, the city law, when she died, the city lost their foremost patroness, most generous benefactress whose philanthropics have been second only to General Palmer in contributions to the city. She was an active member of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, moved to England in October and November 1922, deeded her property on Culebra Place down here, worth $200,000 to the Sunny Rest Sanatorium, which she and her husband had helped to initiate. That's out on East Kashalapooter, just this side of Circle Drive, I believe. Pardon? It's an old folks' home. Care center, I don't know how extensive. Oh, no, this is on East Kashalapooter. I think it's east of, where Yampa and, it is, just this side of Circle on Kashalapooter. So if you're coming from, north side. If you're coming from the Citadel on, what is that out there? It changes every time it, Galley Road, if you cross Circle and go straight across, that'll be on just about a quarter mile down the road on your right. Sunny Rest Homes. Beg your pardon me? Yeah, okay, I'm coming to that. We'll tell about that. She deeded her home furnishings plus $110,000 in securities and cash with which to endow the Watt Memorial Building at Sunny Rest. She created a nutrition camp, which later was taken over by Glockner Sanatorium or Penrose Hospital, where undernourished children of school age were brought up to normalcy. She had done this successfully in her home prior to the hospital taking it over. Evidently through TB, kids' bodies didn't assimilate everything and seemed to be a major problem, and it lasted up until World War II, and they pretty much conquered it in town. From a close friend, Helen Brindley, this is what she says, hers was not the careless giving of a rich and liberal person, which with a large surplus to dispose of. One of her most marked characteristics was her capacity for friendship. While others sought pleasure, she sought opportunities to help. Her whole life was the giving of herself to her friends, be they ill and poor or strong and well-to-do. It mattered not. In spite of disabling illness, she lived not to be ministered unto, but to minister. But that was nice. That was in a newspaper. Dr. Watt, not a whole lot on him. He had a brother in Scotland who was an Episcopal minister. He had four sisters, three in England, and one married that William Fisher. He lived in Colorado Springs, belonged to the El Paso County Medical Society, the El Paso Club, loved golf, and was a treasurer of the Colorado Springs Golf Club, and that's all I found on those folks. But as we get this more organized and go through it again, we'll try to put it into a format like that so we get an idea of the personality. And where were they? I don't know if I know that. Yeah, that could be Patty Jewels. That'd be a whole study in itself to figure out when all these things went in. So he was teed off a lot. I'm sorry. Hey, just a brief reading of a situation that took place, if you caught it. He had something put into the city charter that there be no alcohol permitted to be sold or endured on premises if of anybody's property in Colorado Springs. If they heard of a place with liquor, they would check it out, and the land automatically reverted to the Colorado Springs Company. One business had gotten liquor. They checked it out. It was called the same as that TV show. What's the name of the thing? Pat Sajak. Wheel of Fortune, it was called. And they heard there was liquor there, and so they checked it out, and it was enough, and they took the property back. The people sued them. It went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court backed the city charter. Our Supreme Court has changed. Yeah. Well, he had a wine cellar, yeah, some champagne. But I don't know what's... Anyhow... the blueprint shows a wine cellar down below Lorraine's old office. Yeah, probably so. Is that alcoholic? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Those people find a way around it. Well, anyhow, putting in the track for the Kansas Pacific Railway, they had an exceptional day of progress. This is what happened. The men got very much excited. In the first hour, had laid about 2 miles. By 11 a.m., they had laid 7 miles of track, and by 1, they had laid between 9 and 10 miles. And I guess that was just record, because you got to grade the land and get the cross members down and seal the track, and boy. One party then stopped for dinner, and the other ran temporarily out of irons, so they did not close until 3. The best feeling prevailed. After it was over, we gave the 400 men a fine supper with some California grapes and peaches, ice cream, and other luxuries, including cigars, to close up with. During the contest, a villain came along with a movable bar room, a whiskey shop on wheels. I detailed a few men to knock the casks in and spill the poison, which was quickly done. The proprietor came to me for pay for the loss. I told him I thought he deserved hanging, not remuneration for his liquors. To think of the wretched depth of heartlessness of a man who would bring his poisonous whiskey among a crowd of excited Irishmen on a day like this. Yeah, boy. Right. Right. And they were associates in the coal company. To some end, I don't know how close they were, but Mr. Osgood of the Redstone Castle over in Redstone, Colorado. If you're over the western slope sometime, check that out. Well, thanks a lot for your time here. What time was breakfast?